Cyclops, Storm, Nightcrawler, Wolverine, Colossus, Children of the Atom, students of Charles Xavier, mutants, feared and hated by the world they have sworn to protect. These are the strangest heroes of all, the uncanny X-Men.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Third Degree Burn. My name is Brian Hughes and I am here with Tim Elliott. Say hi, Tim.
Hello.
And our special guest here, Christopher Hughes. Say hi, Chris.
Hello, everybody.
You don't have to lean in like that. It'll catch you.
I just felt like I should.
You're talking to a little
It's kind
soft.
Of a kind of a
speak up.
Natural thing.
Speak up.
It's a very white introduction.
Yep. Anyway, hey, welcome to our show. We're glad to be back, and this is a special episode because we're not covering a book today. We are going to cover the first two episodes of X-Men 97. This is a commentary, not just, you know, talking about what's going on. This is a commentary of the episode. So if you want to watch along while we're talking about this, bring up your Disney Plus and find X-Men 97, episode one, and we'll go through that one, and then we'll go through episode two. We're starting right at zero, so it should be just a simple ride-along, except nobody will be shooting at us. Anyway, Tim, you got anything you want to bring up before we start it?
No, just that, and I'm sure we'll come as we go. This is our second commentary, right? We did X-Men Days of Future Past a couple years ago. And I like these because there's not a lot of work involved. You just get to sit down and watch it and kind of, you know, Mystery Science Theater. You talk about it as you're watching it. So,
yeah, I want to do a commentary on the Tim Story Fantastic Four movies. So that's something that we can do in the future.
Yeah, there's lots of commentaries on that. We could do, we talked about doing, we talked about doing.
Fanforstic?
No, not Fanforstic. No, I don't want to do Fanforstic unless I'm drinking and I'm out of Mystery Science Theater the heck out of that one. no, it was burn related. It was, it's flown out of my brain. I don't know, but it was something that was a Marvel film that I thought we could cover because it was burn adjacent.
And I'm just blanking. I mean, Ant-Man. Would seem to be
maybe I was thinking Ant-Man, the first Ant-Man movie, because that's burn related.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a real good one. Okay, well, do we want to go ahead and get started here?
Yeah, cue us up so everybody can knows when to start their player.
Yeah, a quick background just for everybody to understand. I of course watched X-Men 97, the X-Men cartoon when it first came out. I was not able to catch every episode because this was in the day where, we had VCRs, but also TV was breaking up. And so where the show was being shown was very difficult because it was like, for us, it was like on a local UHF channel, 33, I think, that was showing it. And it was never like the same time, every week, not like a Saturday morning cartoon or whatever. So you had to find it. And TV Guide had kind of gone the way of the dodo at that point, hadn't it?
Yeah, and I don't honestly remember when I watched it. I don't think it was an after school thing. I don't know if it was Saturday morning. It was on Fox or Fox.
Fox. But it was Fox 33.
Yeah.
It was before it became one of the big four networks.
Right.
And I think it was like Sunday mornings. Was when it came on. Because if it was on Saturday mornings, back then I was working retail and I had to work in the morning, so I wouldn't get to see it. Maybe I would set my VCR to record, but again, that's a long time ago. And I don't remember. Fact of the matter is I think I got to see maybe 20 episodes, and that includes the Phoenix Saga, the Dark Phoenix Saga, the Days of Future Past stuff. But I didn't get to see like a lot of the later stuff.
Yeah, I didn't. It was during the age of... because it ran from what, 92 to 97, is that right? 95? Mm-hmm. It ran five seasons. I was working and I got started dating Fionnuala, so I was doing even more adult things. And so I just couldn't find time to sit down and watch. It's not, you kids today don't realize what it was like. You can just press a button and watch anything. back then, point, Brian, you had to hunt and find it.
Yeah, and now there's such a wide variety, it's hard to decide what to watch.
It's almost too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just inundated. All right, so we got the Disney Plus up. We're at the counter of zero. I'm going to go ahead and start, and we're just going to jump in and go with episode one. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to give a little countdown from three. So 3, 2, 1, play. And hopefully you guys can hear just a little bit, but not too much.
We're not skipping intro or anything.
Yeah, we'll say they. Oh, you are skipping the intro?
No, we're not.
Okay. The opening, and one, I'll say this. The one thing that turned me off on the original was I thought the animation was terrible. It looked rushed and kind of cheap. And yeah, it was, as a comic fan, you got to, wow, I get to see these characters on the screen, you know, because we haven't had any animated X-Men since Pride of the X-Men did not get picked up. Although the animation in that was actually pretty good. But this is, they've tried to keep the same style, but it's just obviously updated because I'm sure they're using a lot of computers. It looks a lot cleaner. The new animation really looks good, even though they're trying to mimic 90s animation. So
I think the opening. The one thing that really helped them is you can tell where they got a lot of the inspiration from, like, anime. And Japanese animation, especially when they do like impact frames, it's very apparent and it looks so good. It just helps it.
Yeah, but that beginning there was
it's almost frame for frame. Yeah.
The original, they just added things and changed things.
Yeah, no. It's just redoing it, but making it look
better. Yeah, they added in Magneto, and I don't think Morph was in the other opening credits.
No, he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they added a few things. Oh, poor Gyrich. He's in that job now.
Isn't he called Gyrich in this?
Gyrich, yeah. I call him Gyrich because that's how I read along.
Fair.
Didn't they change his? Because I watched the last episode of the original series where Professor supposedly dies. And Gyrich looks very different in that. This, he looks like the comic version. Red hair, glasses. Yeah. And that one, he didn't have glasses. He was brown haired. He looked totally different.
Oh, and here we are meeting
Robert
DaCosta. Yeah,
no, Sunspot.
I know Bobby is Robert. I get
but that. Yeah, but he is from the New Mutants comic.
Yeah,
and the thing is, he's the only of the New Mutants that actually show.
Wonder what we're gonna see.
They don't tie him to them at all, which I'm like, oh, bummer, because I like the New Mutants.
No, they brought him in as
a new addition to the X-Men.
Yeah.
But I think we got to give it time, especially with the idea of...
Yeah, there's a lot they can cover, and the show has got such a huge, huge following.
It does now, and I've been making sure to help people be a part of that following.
Well, they never...
Was that Wolverine's claws that scraped his face?
Yeah, that's got to be. Those three scars on his face, that has to be.
Was he one of the Reavers or one of the guys that was at the Hellfire Club?
I think he's just so that's just say, the point that's why he hates mutants, because he was
attacked by Wolverine. They really kept the fierceness and the gravitas that Storm likes to bring to
Storm always was like a little over the top in how she presented herself in the show.
But it's what makes it so great.
Yeah, the thing that's I don't like that. I think she's a little too, little over. Yeah. She is a little too dramatic when she comes in, and she kind of has to monologue about what she's going to do. So,
yeah.
And we should say this is. I think this is established. This is about a year after the other show ended, and in the show's time. So, Xavier's been dead for a year. Obviously, because we see that Jean Grey is pregnant, you know, very pregnant, and Storm has changed her hairstyle. She's shaved her hair to her mohawk.
I really like what they do with Cyclops in these scenes, because they show him finally to be a badass.
Well, I love the fact that he uses his beams not just for attacking, but for traveling and better combat, like, accessibility. He's really acrobatic, and it's showing.
Well, I noticed that he does that later, that he was using it to push himself back. And I think his power doesn't work that way, or else every time he hits something that weighs more than him, it push him back instead of pushing it forward. So I think we talked about that. I think his I thought this was a cool scene. They take his visors off and then he pretends that he's helpless and then he just opens his eyes up.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's a quick way to get done in.
One of my least favorite characters.
Yeah, I don't mind him here in this show. I mean, I don't like the midriff shirt.
I love Gambit.
Yeah.
That was, I think, my problem with the original show was, I want to point out here that, is that all they're having for breakfast are beignets? Like, yeah. Everybody's having a plate of beignets. Come on. I didn't like the line. That's a plate of diabetes right there. Come on. I didn't like the lineup in the original show because they kind of what they did with the movies, the Fox movies, they cherry pick the characters they want. So I, like you, Brian, I was never a fan of Bishop. I wasn't ever really a fan of Gambit. I really disliked Jubilee. I don't like Morph, even though I thought he died in the original series.
He supposedly died in the first episode, but it was all a ruse by, was it Mr. Sinister?
Yep.
Mr. Sinister. Yeah. And I like how they brought him back. Now they brought him back, and there's pregnant Jean.
Yeah.
Okay, but they brought Morph back as transgender, and
And they changed his look because originally he didn't have that kind of blank look.
Yeah. He looks like the chameleon.
Exactly. And I will give them credit that I guess it's not established. I haven't watched all the episodes. So I guess it is established later that he identifies as non-binary. But
okay.
I think that's what they said. But they don't use that term because that term was not readily used in the 90s, which I thought was nice. That they're not trying to update it to today's sensibilities. They're trying to keep true to
this is the 90s.
Exactly, the 90s. There's a little bit of modern stuff kind of creeps in. But there's my second least favorite character.
But, you know, the thing is, they're not as grating. The characters that grated on me before are not as grating now. I don't know if it's something that they've changed with them or something that's changed in me. But I don't mind Gambit in this series at all. In fact, I kind of like him. And same with Bishop. Now, they don't give Bishop enough. A lot to do. When he's using his powers, he's awesome. I like that.
In my opinion, I think...
And they don't play that stupid renegade music every time he's on screen.
My dad has a vendetta against the renegade music that would be playing for Bishop in the original show.
Yeah.
Now, in my personal opinion, I think this show really really highlights the characters that most people wouldn't like, especially, you know, you guys have your own qualms against some of these characters. But for me, a guy who doesn't really read the old X-Men comics as much or look at that kind of thing, I still readily enjoy everything that I've been watching and see of these characters. I see their own individual story arcs and lines going on, and it makes it a very enjoyable thing. And you see the difference in how it's not just trying to be a kid's show. It's just trying to be a good show that everyone can watch.
It's grown up for the people that watched it as kids in the 90s and now are full grown and, you know.
But also it makes it to where little kids can still watch this and enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree.
And to me, that's what makes this such a unique and great. Given this. And how they've kept it very faithful to the looks, at least in my opinion, to some of the looks of the characters in the comics. I can say I thoroughly enjoyed watching this show on that aspect.
Now, if you were to cast Magneto for this role like this, when he's wearing the helmet, I always see Jack Palance. But obviously, I only know of Jack Palance when he was older, not when he was younger. So I don't know how well he would have done in the role.
Well, Jack Palance, though, when he's younger, always had kind of a vaguely ethnic look. He looked maybe Indian or something else. I mean, if you see him when he's younger.
Yeah. I love this Wolverine. I love this costume.
Yeah, they and I was trying to think what was going on when this original show came on in 92. I was trying to think what was going on in the comics. And because I don't remember they bring up Genosha in here, and I don't remember that coming into the comics until when I was kind of starting to taper off and stop reading the X-Men much later. Yeah. But
I'd stopped reading the X-Men around 225 or somewhere after that, and that's late 80s.
Yeah, that's so, you started early.
The Jim Lee era, when it started with X-Men 1, and I mean, he'd been on previous books, but that was like his thing. And that's when you started getting all that, or they started moving towards that, you were saying?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. All right. But
cool, Val, they're kind of keeping the...
Val Cooper a good guy?
Oh.
Back in the day?
Yeah, I had to look her up too because I couldn't remember.
She's a good guy.
In fact, at one point, I think Guy Ritchie replaced her. That's a nice shot of the original. Now that's the show I want. Original X-Men. Original lineup.
I will say one thing on Wolverine's part. As much as I do enjoy the costume and the look, the guy who voiced him isn't bad. But there's another guy I would have really preferred to have voiced him, and he was the guy who did the voice in Hulk versus Wolverine.
Yeah,
that animated short movie. Because that guy just sounds like Wolverine. He embodied Wolverine for that short film, and it was just – it was so visceral, and you couldn't help but be like, oh, that's Wolverine.
You don't
that's
want him. The – when they guest starred on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and they made him – Australian?
He hasn't seen that. I'm gonna have to show that to him.
Oh no, I've seen it.
Oh yeah.
That one's not very although that has more traditional X-Men because you've got Colossus, you've got Nightcrawler, you've got Kitty Pryde. It's not a good episode, but
they just couldn't sell it to whoever to put on.
That's Pride of the X-Men. I've got the videotape of that one episode, and it's actually pretty good.
I think
the animation's pretty good.
Yeah, the guy who I'm talking about is Steve Blum or Bloom. He's a great voice actor, and whenever I heard that, he blew me away as Wolverine. I was so very happy to hear that kind of voice on Wolverine's face.
Well, that a lot of the they did bring back a lot of the original voice actors, and I will say that they are doing pretty good considering there's 30 years difference between, and they're basically playing, you can tell whoever's voicing Rogue is an older woman, but she does a pretty good job considering she's 30 years older than she was when she was playing Rogue in the 90s.
Yeah, now the gal doing Val Cooper was the one that originally did Jean Grey.
I think the Wolverine is the guy from Wolverine and the X-Men, that cartoon. I think
and
that's the actor.
He's still done by the same guy that did him originally.
Yeah.
George Buzza. And he actually was the truck driver that gave Rogue a ride in the original X-Men movie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. They do a better job of what the films criminally did was underuse Cyclops. They just wasted Cyclops in the Fox films. And in this.
Yeah.
He is much better. He is he's a leader, you know, and that's, I think, argument. Go ahead.
I just want to say that the seeing a short, stubby, old, disgruntled guy in a flannel pop up in a club is not what you always think you'd see, especially one that's like 5'2 and pure muscle.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice. They didn't decide to upgrade Wolverine to look more like Hugh Jackman and make him taller. They kept him at his 5'1 or 5'2, whatever it is. And I'll say the same when they when we see Bolivar Trask, that they didn't decide to update him to be more like Peter Dinklage, that character, because that's what we saw in the film. They kept him looking like he did in the comics and in the original show.
Mm-hmm. And oh, here goes Morph being a little a-hole. I will say the most perfect casting in the show for me was Magneto, the voice actor who did Magneto.
Yeah, I think that's that's a new voice actor. I think some of these actors died. And
yeah, but Matthew Watterson is the guy that's doing Magneto's voice.
Didn't John Calicos do it in the original, or at one point do Magneto?
Let me see.
I think he's listed. Maybe the.
The Beast to get there.
And then there's Robert DaCosta trying to be a party guy, and well,
he is. That's it. He's a spoiled rich kid. That's what he is. He goes. Yeah, no, he says, "What are you?" He says,
"I'm not disagreeing."
He's talking to anybody money.
David Hemblin
voiced Magneto for 29 episodes. Yeah, he passed away in 2020. He was in the remake of Rollerball and Tommy Boy. But I don't recognize this guy. But he did Magneto in the X-Men Mutant Academy as well. Okay, now, what a lot of people probably don't remember is that Jubilee's costume was kind of made as a nod to Tim Drake's Robin.
Yeah.
When Tim Drake originally became Robin.
They didn't have much to do with, give her anything to do. I mean, she was low power. She was, you know, she was kind of Wolverine's little sidekick. And I just didn't think. Same with Bishop. I didn't like them pulling people from alternate timelines to bring them back in. And he has, you know, he has vague powers. Yeah, he can absorb energy, but he mostly uses a gun. He never developed much of a personality.
Wasn't Garrett's glasses green, or were they red?
They were green. I think that's how Byrne drew him, as being green. But he was never this kind of mutant hating kind of character. Yeah, he clashed with the Avengers all the time, and he often clashed with the superheroes, but I never saw him as an evil guy. He was just more corporate,
the government.
Yeah. This is more Stryker-like characterization.
Yeah.
Well, TV series Stryker, because, you know, comic book Stryker was actually a reverend.
Right.
Like a televangelist.
Yeah, and I think he was, he's more like the TV or the film. The Brian Cox character. I thought this is a little intrusive for her to kind of, something I don't think Xavier would ever do. And maybe that's what they're trying to show, the contrast between the way Xavier would handle this versus the way Scott's handling it.
It just goes to show that no one here is
Kirby Crackle.
Hmm? Yep. No one here is Charles Xavier. Charles Xavier is the only Charles Xavier.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Kirby Crackle. I mean, this shows the advancement in the animation. This is a really nice sequence or whatever it is.
Of course you are. You grew up with one kind of costume, and you want to see that kind of costume.
It's funny. It's like, can't say I'm a fan of the Marvel Girl costume, because I really didn't see it in action except for X-Men 137. You know, seeing Jean in a costume is, you know, odd.
Some master mold.
I guess the X Factor days was the only time we saw her really in any kind of costume.
Well,
the first angle that you saw that it looked like the old villains' headquarters from, you know, Challenge of the Super Friends. And then, like a Darth Vader mask.
Man, right there you could see just like that's what I was talking about when I said anime influence. You started seeing that fade away in using the animation. It was very good and interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, it's they. I will say this, Chris. They've dialed down the anime influence. They could have gone way over the top with it, with speed lines and some freeze frames and things like that. They haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is just the. It's got to be the advent of. I'm sure they are using computers to. They're doing keyframes and are probably having the computer animate in between, which saves time and makes it look cleaner.
Yeah. I think I really wish if more series would adopt this style of animation, specifically Invincible.
Yeah.
Because that show is so good, but if
Look at that! You just chopped the Sentinel's head in half.
And we got that quick impact frame right there. Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah, I will say that they did make Wolverine a little prettier, so maybe a little Hugh Jackman influence than he was in the original animated series.
Not in my opinion. That man is not pretty.
Morph is Archangel. It's kind of a game to sit there and see what characters Morph turns into.
I really do like Morph's use of powers.
Whenever he transforms into him, he has their powers.
Yeah.
But I guess he's limited how long he can do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think about Morph. I didn't know he could. I thought he was more like Mystique. Mystique can mimic someone,
now,
but she can't, doesn't get
French,
their powers.
This scene is just badass.
It is. I mean,
it is, but I don't think his power works that way. I don't know if he could slow himself down.
I'm going to be so honest. If they don't use their powers completely right, but it still makes a little bit of sense and it's just cool, I think it's okay.
Well, I'll give him credit that his beam is just a beam of force and it's not a laser beam. Like the movies are constantly making it like a laser or heat beam. And it's like, no, it's just a beam of pure force.
It's just pure kinetic energy.
Yeah. I want to ask this because you were talking about Jean Grey's costume. At what point did Jean Grey stop using a code name? You notice now movies or these cartoons, she's never has a code name. She's always just Jean Grey.
Well, I think when they were making the X-Men movie, that... They couldn't use the Marvel name because it was in they were in court over the Marvel at
but they just
DC.
Dropped it. So she's never given. I mean, when she's Phoenix, she was Phoenix. But
right. But other than that, she didn't have a code name.
No,
she was just Jean Grey.
Oh, this scene
but
is so
again,
cool.
Again, with the X-Men movies at that point being a part of Fox and not Marvel. And all the stuff that was going on with Marvel, with the X-Men, I think that they didn't want them to use the Marvel name.
Probably okay, not. This to me is one of my highlights of the show, and that is every time Beast does something like this, he always gives it a nice little pun. And it's just, to me, it's not just that it's a little funny, it's just great. It feels so right, not just for him, but for the character and everything that goes
Beast
back to the show.
They do a good job of capturing Beast in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do love the Sentinel activity here. Just a lot of fun. But they do kind of make the Sentinels short work of the Sentinels.
Well, for me, this part was just great. You can hear the difference in music and then them saying Omega level threat detected was just the icing on the cake for me.
Is Storm considered, I read that in my notes. Is Storm considered an Omega level mutant?
Yes. She's in the same league as Magneto and Iceman.
Well, I knew Iceman, they had revamped him, so he was now considered Omega, but
yeah,
I didn't know.
It's because of his pure aptitude to be able to control not just, you know, ice, but be able to feel the molecular structure of it and control that himself and his cryokinesis.
Well, I think they established that he becomes ice, right? It's not that he just coats himself. He actually becomes, that's why... Was it when Emma Frost took over?
He controlled water altogether, just didn't realize it.
Yeah. I don't know. But this seems really cool. I thought this was creative and awesome.
I want to know how you could charge up his claws without his claws exploding.
Because they're indestructible.
Well, then he shouldn't be able to charge them up. I'm sorry. That's,
It looks cool.
It looks cool. Yeah, I'll give you that. It looks cool. Yeah, it looks cool.
The Sentinel head falling. Is that like that scene in X-Men 3 when they're in a danger room?
One brief time you see.
Yeah.
Man, Cyclops looked built there. He looked like what Rob Liefeld tried to draw Captain America like.
Yeah. That's funny. Uh-oh.
I can see where they're pulling a little. I just noticed it. Whenever you're looking at the characters, you can see a little of the Jim Lee idea, only because of the shadowing that goes through the chin.
Yeah.
On top of it and below the lip, that was a real Jim Lee thing to do.
So does she wear the raincoat in summer?
I don't know. It's Jubilee.
She wears that thing in those big glasses. They look
the
like
ski goggles.
They look like old people glasses. Which I was looking in the original cartoon, and she didn't wear them as much. Here she's got them on all the time, but she didn't have them on. And here we kind of get Roberto's powers, which, you know, I give him credit. It's more Kirby Crackle. That's true to.
Yeah, but they changed his powers too. I don't know what his powers are like in the comic books these days, but it used to be he would just absorb solar energy and convert it to strength.
Yeah, and that's what he says. It makes him strong. Later, I think they established he could blast solar. He could have some kind of projection power. He could do something, but he's able to. And he didn't quite become quite as black.
Days of Future Past, they had him blasting his energy in all different directions before he would get killed.
Yeah. That's just them. I think some characters, they want to give a projectile type power or just amp them up. Same way they did with Emma Frost when he gave her secondary mutation. It's like, is that just to make her more of an action star? No, she doesn't need that power. She's pretty powerful on her own.
Well, that was when they were doing the secondary mutation thing, you know, the beast that became more feline and other people wound up with different powers. Now, you notice here, Morph, that color on him is his whole body.
Yeah, he's kind of, which is from later in the comics. I think he's him in the Exiles. He was just kind of, to your point, looks like chameleon. He's just kind of a blank.
They never got to play basketball.
Nope.
Well, they should be playing softball.
Yeah.
Instead of basketball. Wow, Xavier's will is so big, it had to be bound. It had to be written and bound. How long is that will?
Well, I mean, he's got a mansion. He's got jets. He's got probably fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah.
And he seems to have an unending amount of wealth.
Well, I mean, when you're able to read minds,
but
you can quite literally control the stock market by yourself.
Or benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that was the end. That was it. Now we do it. I like this little credit piece where you get, this is very anime-like, where you get the character and you're kind of their stats.
Mm-hmm.
So Magneto is now owns all of Charles Xavier's stuff and is leader of the X-Men. And of course, that made me think about that era around X-Men 200 when Charles had to go away because his body was about dead and the Shi'ar took him away.
Well, that's what happened at the end of the fifth season. They thought he was dying and Lalandric showed up, saved him, and she said, but he'll have to stay with the Shi'ar, in other words, to live. And she said, and he says goodbye. It's kind of a touching scene. He says goodbye to all his X-Men, says something nice about him. And then he has to says, well, my body may not survive, but my mind will. So he goes off with her, and that's how it ends. So this is a year later, and I guess they assume, oh, they're thinking John Byrne. He got the
first one on the list, but it's because it's alphabetical.
Yeah, well, still. All right, do you just want to play the second episode? Well, watch that.
Go ahead and give your thoughts on the first episode. We kind of talked over a lot of stuff with just a lot of background and stuff. Hopefully the next one we can talk more about what's going on. But, I mean, I like it. In fact, this last image here shows the mansion, and you get a good idea. There's the pool in the back, the tennis basketball court there on the left side of the mansion. Trying to remember, is this the way the mansion looked in the original series? And
I think it's the way it's always looked, because and I don't remember in the all right, let me stop my
episode. Okay, that stopped. And it's going to start the next episode in about 6 seconds. Is yours going to continue playing?
I'm going to stop it.
Okay, I'll stop mine.
I've stopped it on the Disney logo.
Just back it up to zero.
I don't remember if the Blackbird came out from under the swimming pool or not, or if it came out of a... Didn't it come out of a cliff, like further down the estate?
It came out of a cliff over the water.
Yeah, it was. That's where Lisa Hotmu has it. But overall, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than the original, mainly because the animation was much, much better. I think when the original one... Oh, go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
Well, I think the biggest difference between the original and this series is the pacing and the lack of the melodrama. I mean, yeah, they had Scott and Jean talk a little bit, but it wasn't like it was previously, where it was rather syrupy. Scott and Jean's love was, oh, I love you and I love you. You know, it was very, very much so. Storm is the most melodramatic, but even she's been toned down from the original series. And that is the same voice actress that did her back then. So I think that they've done some really good things and gave us, you know, the things that we liked a lot, and they took away the things that kind of detracted from it. You know, it's grown like we have.
I would agree with that. They and once you get over, and to your point, maybe it's because I'm watching this 30 years different. So when I was watching the original one, I was deep in the X-Men, and I wanted what I was reading on the page to be on the screen. And because, as I said, they cherry pick, they don't, you know, why is Colossus not in this team? I know he showed up in the...
Nightcrawler.
Yeah, Nightcrawler is my favorite.
Yes.
I think Morph is kind of replacing Nightcrawler as kind of the jokester of the group.
They kind of given him a little bit of a Deadpool sort of humor aspect to him without the vulgar aspects of
or breaking the fourth wall. Right.
Those are the best puns.
But it's quite enjoyable. And I mean, I like how it picked up like it did. You know, it's like picking up in the middle of a conversation that you never had.
Yeah, yeah. For a continuation 30 years apart, they've done a great job of picking up the story, you know, bringing back the original voice actors as possible and capturing the look of it by updating a little bit. I mean, I think the problem with the 90s X-Men and the same with the Spider-Man show that was out, they felt more like they were there to sell toys as opposed to telling a story. And I was used to... I'd gotten spoiled by Batman the animated series with that animation. So then you go to watch the X-Men, you're like, they need to do better. So
yeah, Batman the animated series, even after watching this, is still my favorite animated show ever. And I've watched and that's including anime. And that's just because Batman the animated series not just holds a near and dear place in my heart. It's just an amazing show, especially about the Caped Crusader and his adventures. it truly has some of the greatest writing I've seen in, you know.
It does. The writing, I think, the writing plus the animation is what makes that show work so well.
And then the voice acting of two of some of the greatest voice acting castings of all time, in my opinion, of having Kevin Conroy as the Batman and having Mark Hamill as the Joker. I mean, it doesn't get much better than Batman the Animated Series. And how amazing it truly was, especially for its time.
Well, and if you watch, and I was kind of coming off, I was big into anime in the 80s when it was super hard to find it. So if you watch enough of that, and then you kind of watch the what I would consider kind of crude American animation, it's hard to, you get spoiled to, like I said, one thing of the style and level of quality that then you don't get when you come over to the X-Men stuff. So I think that's why I was kind of turned off initially, and I just didn't seek it out that much.
Mm. Yeah, I have to agree there too. I mean, just the thing is with me, I'm a big anime fan today. I mean, I you can ask my dad. I watch anime pretty constantly.
Yeah.
And consistently. And you say that with gripe in your voice.
No, that's not gripe. In fact, I don't have a problem with any of that. The thing is, whenever I ask you about other animated stuff, like Batman the Animated Series or stuff like that, you already know it. You know, and the thing is that the quality of what's coming out today is unfortunately not up to the same quality that Batman or Superman or even the Justice League, you know, series held. And I mean, this one right here, you can tell it's farmed out to, you know, companies to animate it overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're going to get a different kind of animation than you're going to get from the Paul Dini stuff. And, you know, I accept that, and I don't have a problem with that. Actually, I really enjoyed the animation in this. I don't expect it all to be Akira, you know, but it would be nice. And that's what Batman Animated Series gave us. It took a lot of its cues from Akira.
Yeah, like the Robin bike slide.
Yeah. The bike slide is done in every animation somewhere.
But the thing is, it's just the level of complexity that the Batman the Animated Series had is finally being shown in the X-Men series, I think, now with this. In my opinion, yeah, the way that they're showing the complexity of each character, it's coming together a lot like how the complexity of Batman. But the thing is, the difference is you have more characters here than you did with Batman the Animated Series because it was specifically about Batman.
Yeah, well, the thing I'd say is that basically, you know, the Batman the Animated Series had a set crew of animators that worked on it exclusively. Whereas with this one here, you can tell from minute to minute that there are different crews, probably in different places, all working on the animation to get on any amount of time they have, because it doesn't have the consistency that the Dini stuff had. And do you know what I'm saying here? Wolverine looks different in one minute to the next.
Yeah.
The original one, they had trouble with like scale of things. Yeah. Things would change. The characters would change slightly. It just looked rushed.
But yeah, again, and that's also, you know, a little bit of the case here. But I mean, again, I'm not really complaining. I'm just, you know, pointing it out.
Oh, no, I think the animation and artwork in this is superb.
Now, a story point I want to bring up because I'm curious about it, and that's Bishop and why he's there. Because the only reason why Bishop came to the X-Men in the first place was to change the future. So is that what he's trying to do now, or is he just like visiting the past?
I thought he was stuck in the past. He came back to...
Yeah, he's stuck.
They kind of did Days of Future Past with him instead of Wolverine. He came back to stop the killing of Senator Kelly, and he changed the future, but he got stuck in the past, right?
So did they use Kitty Pryde in the original? I forget.
No, I think they used him. He came back.
Yeah. And,
again, that's my complaint, that they're kind of switching things around instead of just sticking with the original story.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, as I originally did not like Bishop, I kind of softened to him when I found out that John Byrne has partial creator credit for him, as he scripted those original X-Men comics that I think Jim Lee put together. He didn't write them. He just scripted them. So it was a very – Jim Lee did, you know, about 75% of work. Byrne just scripted it based on the story that they had. And so he gets part creator credit. You know, it's funny how creator credits work in comics, and that one right there is a real odd one. But it's just like, you know, Byrne being the artist for the Scott Lang Ant-Man stuff, and so therefore he gets creator credit for that, even though he didn't write any of it.
Well, creator is creator, so if he's drawing something, that's, you know, you can get. Well, it's like, I think with like Wolverine, for instance, I think he is generally credited as Lin Wein and Herb Trippi as the creators, although I believe John Romita Sr. Designed the costume.
Yeah, he gets creator credit. Herb Trippi doesn't get any credit.
I thought Lin Wein and him, because he drew the issue, didn't he? The Hulk issues.
Yeah, he drew the Hulk issues, but John Romita had already drawn the
costume.
All that. So he got that's one of the very weird creator credit things, because I thought Herb Trimpe should have gotten something there. But that's weird. Anyway, should we go ahead and move on to
let's start up the I'm at 00, so let me know when you want to hit play.
Well, the thing is, you kind of have to skip the recap and all that. So I'm at 31. That's not right. I'm at where am I? I'll just back it up to zero. We'll let the recap play.
Okay, we can talk about maybe the plot of the previous one while they're showing the.
Yeah, well,
is there anything you had on that?
Okay, I've hit play. I should stop and do that again, but I've hit play, and we're 5 seconds in of the recap.
Okay, I think I'm caught up to you, or maybe I'm close. I'm sure they're showing the. The recap, they're showing the picture of Guy Ritchie, they're showing the picture of the basketball team.
I think we're a little ahead of you.
That's
we're
right.
At 29. Okay.
I'm at 22, 23.
Yeah, you might want to skip ahead a few seconds, about 10 seconds.
Well, we'll just pause it whenever the show's about to start, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to skip the intro. Tell me when you get it.
I skipped the intro, and I've got the FC news.
Yep,
we're there.
Okay, cool. Okay, so showing the Ferris wheel thing.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I'll point out here, I think, was that they've updated is when this fireman is rescuing this kid in the gondola, whatever. They made it a woman firefighter, which if this was done in the 90s, no, that would have been a man. So that's a nice addition. And we'll say this is a nice scene.
Ferris wheels, man, they get such bad
reps.
Bad rep. Fantastic Four, Shazam, what else?
Yeah, it does make it to where Cloverfield.
But nothing happened on the
third. Still, it just freaks me out every time.
And Magneto in the John Romita Jr. costume.
I don't like that
costume. I hate that costume.
Yes.
I hate that. Luckily, it didn't last long.
The only reason I don't like that costume is because I don't like the gloves on his arms.
Jean's more pregnant. They're actually progressing the pregnancy.
Hey, that's how it's supposed to be.
I thought figured this was just days later. I don't know if this is supposed to be.
It seems like it's
could be weeks
further down the line.
Could be weeks.
Yeah, because she does give birth in this, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It's funny because it's like you know, they got that room that all the generals and stuff are in, and it really they'd be in like the Situation Room at the White House. Oh, Callisto again.
Yeah, yeah. These are all there's Leech.
I recognize the guy with the eraser head hair, but I don't know.
But I don't know who he is. And I recognize the other guy. I think he can change shape. He's like a morph type character, too.
Mm-hmm. The voice actor is just so good.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just a... Well, it's hard to beat his original costume. It's so iconic. The helmet, the outfit, and yeah, to go with this style is... And watch and pay attention, but look at Magneto. And I don't know if it's done on purpose. He looks like he's wearing lipstick. They outline the color of his lips, and they don't do that with any other male character.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the...
Well, he's also wearing dinner gloves.
He is. Yeah, that's the... Again, that outfit didn't last long.
No.
Thank goodness.
And I guess some of it is when we're seeing Rogue right here. I get real tired of her southernness, which they really amp up in this and the other show.
Yeah.
Because when you're reading the comics, you don't hear it. But when
I hear it because the way they write everything with instead of I. Yeah,
but until you actually have a voice actor doing it and spouting off all her little southernisms and sayings, it gets a little grating.
And that's coming from two guys who are from the South here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm city South. I'm not.
Yeah, same here.
Not deep South like she is.
I only get a Southern accent when I'm drunk or really tired.
I get a Southern accent when I'm around Southern people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that happens when my mother-in-law goes back to Ireland. Her accent comes out.
Magneto just does not seem happy with the fact that he's abiding by Charles' wishes for coexistence. He's just doing it because, well, damn it.
Well, I've forgotten so much of my X-Men because I need to do a reread because I haven't read it in 30 years. But didn't his trial in issue 200 was because he had destroyed a new Soviet sub and killed 200
80
sailors or something like that? Yeah.
But they declared basically, if I remember right, that he was a representative of the mutant nation, regardless of where it lives, and that they're at war. And that what he was doing was responding to an act of war. Now, I don't remember if that was determined in X-Men 200 or if it was in the X-Men versus Avengers series where Magneto's...
I don't remember. Because I don't remember when Genosha really became prominent.
That was much, much later. Ooh. That's a damning statement, really. And here's Jean with the Marvel Girl costume, and she doesn't even call it Marvel Girl.
No, but she does give us a little heavy exposition. Like, I didn't wear this since the last time I was overtaken by this entity, and I tried to kill her. You know, it was a little heavy-handed for the audience, but...
Yeah, but just trying to bring the others up to speed that want to part of it.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they show this bond between them as strong as it is. Now, I'll tell you right now, I scared Chris earlier when I pointed out that Storm's hands are bigger than Michael Jordan. And you'll see here when she puts her hand right here. Because Jean's got normal woman hands, you know, like Jackie O or whatever.
I thought this was an interesting point that they brought up, that she wishes her baby would be human so that he wouldn't have to deal with what they're dealing with, but... and that, I know people read that differently, you know, that the X-Men are allegory for this and allegory for that. You know, you can kind of insert whatever you want to in there. I got a little tired of it, constantly like the world hates us and we, you know, we're trying to fit in. And I never thought there was any progression on that. Yeah, you're right. Her hands are big.
See, look how big that hand is.
Yeah.
Lord Shaq just dropped in.
I don't remember them having that kind of them necessarily being that close.
No, back before the Phoenix Saga or Dark Phoenix Saga, they Claremont kept writing in there how they became as close as sisters.
Sisters, yeah.
And so, you know, I just buy into it. I like that Storm's earrings look like Shazam, you know, chest piece, you know.
He looks so feminine there.
Yeah, he does.
Well, the gloves don't help.
But. Yeah.
Well, the One Piece costume also does not help.
Does not, with a big M on the front of it? Yeah. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah, it's, and the little sash or cloak or whatever that thing he's just got around his neck.
Yeah. That. Now, I don't recall from the animated series, did they actually cover their romance in the first animated series?
No,
I don't remember.
Well, they allude to it here, that there was something that went between them previously.
Yeah, no, not covering it here, but I think within the series they cover it somewhere. I think.
When did that happen in the comics? I've forgotten so much of my X-Men. When did
it happen? That was late 90s, if I remember
okay,
right.
So it wasn't when she first kind of, they're hitting that it was when she first came into the X-Men, but she came into the X-Men through Mystique. Not Magneto, right?
Well, she just approached him because Mystique couldn't help her.
Right.
And but she was going nuts with Captain Marvel's.
But she was with Carol Mystique, Danvers. Not yeah. Magneto. That's when she, you know, kind of came in. But
look at how, I can't help but want to laugh at just how stubby Wolverine looks.
Oh, they're just trying to show he's got all the hair.
No. I'm not talking like hairy. It's just, he's a... Man,
oh, how short he is.
He looks like a thumb from Spy Kids.
He's a little, yeah. He's not quite Puck stocky, but yeah, he's a. I think Ohatmu has him at what 5'2", 5'1", something like that. He's not tall at all.
He's never been tall. I think this was kind of funny, but it's also like really dark.
That's messed up.
Right? It is really.
It
dark.
Is. Yeah. That's one thing they've done. It's dark. And I think that's just the difference between 90s audiences and now. Wonder, this is.
For Val Cooper, did they use Kim Basinger's Vicky Vale as the model for that Val Cooper? Because she got like the same kind of hair and facial features.
I don't know. She looks kind of like she did. I looked her up. She looks kind of like she did in the comics.
Yeah. But like I said, she's got a Vicky Vale look about her.
Of course, it was a little stupid of them to show up with like plastic guns, but then they show up in metal helicopters. What did they think he was gonna do?
Still pretty cool.
It is cool, but to Chris's point, it is dark. I mean, he's basically saying, I could take these rotors and just chop you guys into bits. And that's a little...
I mean, it's kind of like what they did in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Where he gives up, lets him cuff him, like, they'd never really hold him. Okay. When I saw the sequence here, I knew where it was going with Wolverine and Jean.
No, that's not there yet.
I know, but... It made me think of the episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation with Worf and O'Brien's wife Keiko.
Keiko, yeah.
Keiko.
I'm trying to remember the disaster. I think was the name of the episode.
My dad pointed out that one of the posters said "Go back to where you came from," and it's like, where were they before?
Yeah. Wow. They're bringing in again a little bit of modern sensibility to it.
And I'm not familiar with this character, that guy there with the armor.
I'm not either.
He doesn't, but oh, that's the cover right there.
Yeah, it's cover of 200.
Yep. His face looks like Nimrod or something. His that mask he wears looks very familiar.
Yeah.
I will say. Yeah. This whole like monologue and then. The debate they have here is very well done. I've really enjoyed listening to this and thinking about it.
Yeah, and he does. And I will say, I'll also admit that the writing seems to be a notch better than the original. And maybe that is because, to your point, Brian, it's not a after school kids cartoon. It's more for those kids that are now adults, or it's just for adults, yeah. Period. So it's a little more mature. And his little speech at the end, when he kind of does his turn, I thought it was well done. If not a little heavy-handed. But I'm curious if they will, because this gets a second season, right?
Yeah, it's going to get a second season.
Second season?
Oh, yeah.
I know they...
It's already been written.
It's in production right now.
Yeah.
Well, I know they fired the guy that started this.
The showrunner, right?
So, no, I think he's still part of it, but he will not be carrying on to the third season.
Okay. I thought they fired him.
I'm sorry, that's the stupid thing to do, because
he made this good.
He made this what it is, and that is just... It's a fantastically well-done show.
Well, I wonder if they will... Because the original 90s X-Men took place in the same universe as Spider-Man, because they crossed over. Will they bring in any other Marvel characters into this?
I really want to see them bring in, like, Daredevil. Because that would be just so cool. Or Moon Knight.
I just don't see them bringing in, you know, mainstream characters that, you know, that aren't mutant related in some way.
I know, but it's just when you can have fun like that and also make it impactful.
I'm also surprised that they haven't had any Sabretooth at all.
That is a very good point.
Well, we see Sabretooth later.
Okay, here we go.
Oh. And then the face he has, think about this, a 200-year-old man, or actually in this, he's only what?
He's 150, maybe.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with 200-year-old man, because that's what I typically think he is. And yet, a child being born around him scares the ever-loving crap out of him.
He's here, and Logan pops his claws, he goes, where, who is it?
Yeah.
And immediately, he goes to Apocalypse, ready to throw down the hands of it.
I'm actually surprised, because typically in situations like that where you got a guy like Wolverine dealing with the birth of a baby, they actually have to be there and just give birth without help from a hospital or doctor or anything. So that's what surprised me, that he actually went up going to the hospital. So here comes this guy again, and there's a little bit of Nimrod around with the mask around the eyes, or more like Zoltar from Battle of the Planets.
Mm-hmm.
Battle for the Planets, or
Battle Beyond the Stars?
G-Force.
Oh yes, G-Force.
Anime.
Gatchaman, actually. It's Science Ninja Team Gatchaman.
Gatchaman. Yeah. Okay, that was funny, but ouch.
Well, I do like that he holds his own here. He does. He takes Scott down pretty quick.
I will say, I really hated this guy because of that one line he said, humanity answers to no one. And that is straight up wrong. That is a horrible way to think.
This guy's beating everyone up. Why didn't Cyclops just open his eyes?
Because there's so many other people there. If he does that, he could kill them.
Well, and he does. He's already proven that his armor is resistant to. See, there's your classic.
That
Colossus just showed up there and was like, just for 2 seconds, and he was already showing him that he was a boss no matter what. I love Colossus. I really want to see Colossus.
The episode where they introduce him in the original one is terrible. He's mistaken for Juggernaut.
Soon. If they got Colossus in there, is he in there?
I think so. He should be in there. He's been in the past two, and I want to see him again.
We're talking about the Deadpool movie coming up.
Oh, I'm sure that movie will be heavy cameos.
I gotta tell you, I disagreed with Cyclops leaving Storm behind here. I understand why, ultimately. I would have thought that Rogue would have been better to stay with Magneto here.
But Storm's more of a leader.
Storm can charge up Magneto, apparently.
Right, but Storm is more of a leader. And what they need is a leader, when he's gone.
This is so real, this guy refusing to give the mutant a birth. I mean, it's like...
Well, he had a semi-valid reason that he had just stated, but I think he still did it for discriminatory purposes.
Yeah, no, what was his valid reason?
He said if he needs to give her a C-section and she loses her powers...
Yeah.
The thing is, that's not an invalid thing, because if she were to lose her powers while he's having to give her a C-section, she could straight up kill him. Like, no problem.
She lost control.
And yeah, I think that's
valid, but it's a little preachy.
The way he was to be discriminatory.
I think it was basically trying to take a shot at that woman that wouldn't allow marriage licenses for gay couples.
Well, it's no different than hospitals not allowing black folks in, you know, oh, this is a whites only hospital or something like that.
That's about how this, just the metal swords coming down, is feels very biblical.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the idea. That's the, of course, I don't know how Storm thinks she's can, that all those people would be dead. That lightning, I think, would be jumping to all of them and they'd all,
Well, I think the two of them together are able to control that. Because Magneto's even stated he's able to control energy.
He can control the magnetic field.
Now, this right here is ripped from X-Men 180 or around that era. And instead of Magneto's Rogue that she took the shot for. Love that Kirby crackle.
Yep. Well, did you not see that coming? When she was on the bed with Jean, she goes, I've often wondered what it'd be like to be human. And then that's like, okay, she's gonna lose her powers.
Yeah, it was great foreshadowing.
Which I believe in the book, that's the reason why she cuts her hair to the mohawk. It's after she loses her power. No, right?
She cut Is her it before? Hair before that.
Is it before?
Yeah, when she went there in Japan with Wolverine and she met Yukio, who was in the Wolverine miniseries with Frank Miller. Mm-hmm. And Yukio's lust for life was infectious.
Yeah. Well, this is when she loses her powers, isn't she? That's when she becomes the leader of the Morlocks. She fights Calypso and takes over the Morlocks.
I think they actually fought before that.
Was it?
I have to look. I mean, the timing is right around the same.
And I don't remember if. I'm sure whoever's listening to this is correcting us, but when she, how does she get de-aged? Which is when Gambit comes in, because she becomes a kid again, and Gambit finds her, and that's how he gets introduced into the book. Is that after she lost her powers and she gets de-aged and then she gets her powers back? I don't remember.
No, I honestly don't remember.
The one thing I've noticed, though, is that people who are Omega-level mutants have their own theme. Because Magneto has a theme and Storm has her own theme. And then, of course, you have the normal X-Men theme, but I don't think there's anything beyond that.
Yeah, no, Storm's battle with Callisto was before she lost her powers or even went with the Mohawk.
Okay. I thought she went to live with the. I thought at one point when she lost her powers, she went and hung out with the Morlocks for a while. To prove that she was a powerful leader, even though she didn't have her weather powers.
One thing truly shows, and that is Magneto, in my opinion, when I was seeing this, he has a god complex.
Yeah.
And it severely shows because he's showing just how powerful he is. But the thing is I still don't understand everything about him and his character because it only because of what happens later on. I can't expand upon that thought even more. Not yet. But it makes me both hate and love his character. So very well written, so very well put together. But as a person, I truly despise him. I really do. Down to my gut, I despise him.
Well, I mean, he is written much more noble here.
Yeah,
than he was when the first X-Men comics came out. Magneto was as reprehensible as Hitler.
Yeah,
he was evil, evil downright. And when John Byrne was doing his Elsewhen, he went back to that because he showed Magneto to be truly inherently evil, just a bad, bad man. it wasn't, you know, him and Charles. And
yeah, but I gotta say, I really love the way they did Magneto here.
Yeah.
Evil, he has this elegant nature to him, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like how I would envision Dr. Doom being. And I really want to see a Doom-like version of that.
Well, hopefully they'll do Doom right in the MCU. We'll see. So Magneto gets a full pardon here, which is a lot like what happened in X-Men 200 or around that time. But he gets it. I like this scene. Cyclops bringing him the coffee.
I like how he says dark roast. Like, that's any different than poison.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the nature's like, you know, you have a dark nature. I'm giving you dark roast. I did like his speech. I thought his speech was well written, that when he had everybody up in the atmosphere, he was saying,
yeah,
you know, I'm trying to be good. You don't have to love me or my kind, but just
make me
right. Settle for the fact that this is a shared planet and that we have the right to be there as much as you do. And, you know, don't make me regret what I've decided to do.
But the dialogue between Cyclops and Magneto there was also really, really well done.
Yeah.
Especially the whole thing, you know, Cyclops says, you know, Charles trusts you. And I'm going to follow him. Charles' wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this explanation on Storm's powers, that it does look like, I mean, it you know, he thinks it looks like it's permanent, but he also gave the possibility that her powers could just come back after a while.
Yeah, which we know they will. We all know that nothing's permanent.
It has to. It's Storm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as a doctor, doctors, you know, you typically tell worst-case scenarios to prevent themselves from being sued for, you know, malpractice. Yeah. You know, saying, recover within a week, and then they die. You know, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Ouch, that costume. I've never been a fan of the white costume. I always liked it more of the black.
I think
her original costume is much better.
I feel that the white costume does look nice. I could go either way with the costumes. I just think the longer hair in the white costume than going with the mohawk that they did.
Boy, Jean sure did take off the baby weight quick, didn't she?
Hey, man.
Well, that kid's got a lot of hair, too.
Yeah. Okay, I made an online comment about this. This kid, in all the forms that they show him in the animated series, does not look any better than the way John Byrne drew kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it goes.
How are they able to touch?
It's his power, because he's Omega level.
It's Magneto's magnetism power.
Because he can resist it?
Yeah.
There's Sabretooth.
That just looks so cool. The way Sabretooth looked there was so cool.
Yeah, but I mean, it also is a throwback to how Wolverine and Nightcrawler would have their hunts all the time. And, of course, Nightcrawler could never, ever catch Wolverine.
Oh, but that's because Wolverine is just he's an actual beast.
Yep.
And
well, again, that's why
he was named Beast on the team.
I think Morph is taking the place of
Magneto. Couldn't
Nightcrawler
spare a heart for Storm?
No, she wanted to leave. So
yeah, but I mean, as rich as they are, they could have provided her a car. I mean, she did take a bullet for him.
No,
I think she asked
randomly.
Yeah,
it's showing that she can mingle with the common folk. You know, she is. And this has a little kind of a, and I won't spoil. I started watching episode 3, but this has a little kind of a cliffhanger at the end of this episode. And there's that jacket. Get rid of those jackets. I hate those leather jackets that they... Rogue's okay, but that jacket, and then you know, at one point they were all wearing them.
What's going on here? Another Jean Grey?
He's like, wait a minute. I've already got a Jean Grey.
Now, why the thing is, in situations like this, everybody stops, looks at one person, then looks at the person they're a copy of, You know, like, what the hell's going on here? Nobody takes another look back at Jean back there. Not even Cyclops.
Well, didn't they... Did they introduce Madeline Pryor in the original series?
I don't recall.
So, I mean, in the books, obviously, he thinks... And I was trying to remember this. He marries Madeline Pryor because he thinks Jean is dead from Phoenix. And it turns out she's a clone of Jean from Mr. Sinister?
No, the Phoenix. Madeline, yeah. It's a clone of Jean from Mr. Sinister, yeah.
Mr. Sinister. And then Jean shows back up, and that's why Nathan is really the son of Scott and the clone, who then gets taken into the future and becomes Cable.
Yeah,
it's just all so messed up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're changing the. I'm gonna read who their special thanks are. John Byrne, Claremont, Cockrum, nice. Conway, Michael Golden, is he an artist?
Yeah.
Butch Geist is an artist, right?
Yeah.
Jim Lee, Rick Lena, artist. Yeah, Dale, writer. Joe Madureira. I don't know him.
Madeira.
Jason Pearson, Brandon Peterson, Wills Portello, Portacio, Romita Jr., Romita Sr., Mark Silvestri, Louis Simonson, nice. Roy Thomas, Herb Trimpey, and Lynn Wayne. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, John Romita Sr. and Jr., both. Rick Leonardi. I've always been a fan of his stuff, but not everybody
I like his work.
I don't know Jason Pearson, though, or Brandon Peterson.
I don't know them
either. I don't know them. And Werner Roth, man, he was like the second artist. I want to say second artist after Kirby. And
yeah, could there. Be. Paul Smith was around the 200s, if I remember. I don't know.
Paul Smith was in the 170s. So it was 60s and 70s. Brood Saga, and then he left in the middle of the Cyclops' wedding issue. And so he didn't have a long run, but it's one of those that everybody always looks back at because it was so good. And whereas John Byrne had used Sigourney Weaver as his model for Kitty Pryde, Smith used Brooke Shields.
That makes sense.
I will say one thing they did do in this series that I think needed to be done, and that is they gave a moment for each character to have some shine, and where we got to see them in some cool combat, really show just how awesome they can be with their powers. And I'm very happy with that, because before, you know, really trying to get into the X-Men, I was just a big Wolverine guy. I didn't care, you know, and it was just Wolverine for me and Deadpool. But I mean, that makes sense. They're two really influential characters in Marvel and in DC. I mean, back during the 2000s, the big three of Marvel was Hulk, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. And I'm just glad to see other X-Men now, other than Wolverine, getting some limelight, especially like Cyclops and how he was a leader in this. He
was. Well, that's yeah, right, Chris. That the Wolverine became so prominent in the 90s, he was in everything because he was going to boost sales so that if you're doing an X-Men, you think you have to have Wolverine. You know, not forgetting that, you know, the first 90 issues, Wolverine was not around at all. So they will always include. Same with the films. Wolverine became the pivotal character because he was so popular in the comics.
Because of X-Men 132,
33. Yeah, and well, he just became...
showed me those comics, and I will have to say, completely understandable. Wolverine was an absolute badass. And guess whose fault that was?
John Byrne.
Exactly.
John
Byrne. John, well... Claremont's in there too. You got to give Claremont some. You know, Byrne didn't do it on his own.
I absolutely do. I love Claremont. I love Byrne, and I think that they made an amazing character out of Wolverine there.
Well, he's got a lot of layers, a lot of depth. You know, he's like an onion.
peel.
You can do. You can do a lot. You can do a lot of stuff with him.
Now,
as a,
I was right. Werner Roth was an artist from the '60s era, and he went under the name of Jay Galvin at first, because he didn't want DC to know that he was working at Marvel. So you see a bunch of issues that are listed as penciled by Jay Galvin.
I'm sure that that happens a lot. I'm sure that with those guys are working for both companies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if this is successful enough. If could they do this with, say, 66 Spider-Man? Right. Could you do?
You're actually talking about the 90s series. And doing a continuation from that one there.
Well, that can cross over with this, because this is the same universe. So that would, that could...
If it were me, I would continue Daredevil. And I'd have him do the comics version of Born Again.
You're getting a TV, getting a TV version of that.
We're getting a TV version, but it's not going to be the comic.
Because you can't do the Thor, Cap, and Iron Man scene.
Not unless this takes place before Endgame.
Now that's a possibility, if you know.
Or it takes place in an alternate universe. Who knows?
Yeah, there's a can't because of it might only because of what happened in the Spider-Man No Way Home. He showed up there, and then he showed up in She-Hulk.
Yeah,
but he's the only one to show up there. And even when he did show up in No Way Home, he wasn't in costume. And when he showed up in She-Hulk, he was in a different costume than he was in Daredevil, because he was in that mustard yellow and red suit.
Yeah, but him and She-Hulk connects him to the Hulk, which connects him to the Avengers, which connects him to Spider-Man. So it has to be the same character in No Way Home and She-Hulk. But
I'm agreeing with that.
Yeah.
My idea is just that he could be, they could do it in an alternate universe. They could try, they could figure it out. It's Marvel. You can have fun with it. I think these writers forget you can have fun. Make it fun, just not too funny.
Yeah, it's a difference between fun and funny.
Because don't make it Thor Love and Thunder, make it Thor Ragnarok.
Or just throw some humor in. It doesn't have to be. The MCU tends to, in most films, they tend to see what works and they go overboard with that instead of just peppering in a little bit of it.
I do think that while we're saying about to be so excited to see Deadpool, which kind of capitalizes on that fact of humor.
Well, that's different. That's in its own right. That's in its own little
It's
a little pocket of the way he does. They do humor for that film, you know. So I've got high hopes for Deadpool. I hope I'm really just hope he has a lot of ridiculous cameos.
Yes.
The one
hey, look at that ad.
Yeah, the one that people talk about, which I don't think we'll get, is Chris Evans as the original Johnny Storm.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting.
That would be cool. I don't think we'll get that, but
I want to see that. We'll see. I know what I would like a lot. I really want to see him pull up to Michael Fassbender. And that's only because I think Michael Fassbender really got done dirty. He didn't get enough love as Magneto.
I actually thought his Magneto was a good tragic character. I haven't seen how that character translates to Ian McKellen's version.
No, I also heard that Mr. Sinister is supposed to be in Deadpool and Wolverine, and I would really like to see him in live action.
I'm looking at the cast list for Deadpool Wolverine right now. Dopinder's coming back. Yeah. Mr. Paradox, Elektra, Jennifer Garner.
I've never liked... Patrick Sinister. I thought he never did anything. Him and Apocalypse, I never had any use for because they never seemed to know what to do with him.
Can I just say that one thing that really made me happy with Deadpool 2 was the Juggernaut versus Colossus fight?
Oh, Azazel.
That is a...
Azazel, Yukio, and Yuriko.
Yeah, I heard Azazel was coming back.
So, and Ray Park as the Toad.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Oh, well, wow. Aaron Stanford, Pyro.
Yeah, they showed him in the trailer.
Okay, I hadn't noticed. But Shatterstar, I'm not familiar with Shatterstar.
He showed up in Deadpool 2 and got killed immediately. Yeah.
Isn't that a Jim Lee character?
I have no idea. I don't care because the way he died.
Rob Liefeld. Well, he drew him.
Yeah.
He's got the double swords. He's kind of a. I always thought he was kind of a long shot type character. But is he the one that winds up in the mulcher?
He was the one who got torn up by the helicopter.
Okay, but he got shredded. I thought something.
And then Brad Pitt's Vanisher got electrocuted.
Okay, the fact that Brad Pitt showed up for the 2 seconds was greatness. And the fact that Ryan Reynolds show up in Bullet Train for 2 seconds was also greatness.
Well, it's like the Matt Damon is one of the rednecks that when Kate first shows up, their beer. And he's in makeup, but he's one of the guys sitting on the back of the truck talking about toilet paper, I think.
Really?
And, that's Damon.
I really can't wait to see this. And one thing that's really got me excited is I want to see the helmet on Wolverine. I want to see the helmet. I want to see the mask. I need to see it. I want to see him in the full garb.
Yeah. Now, one thing of X-Men cartoon, and it's later down, but they do actually have Wolverine in the brown costume.
In this new one or the old series?
I agree. I like the brown costume so much more than I like the blue one.
The yellow and blue. Yeah.
And
can you hear me, Brian?
Wolverine. I did expect the red and blue one, but I did also hope.
What?
You guys dropped out for a minute.
Oh, sorry. I mean.
Oh.
I'll send you my recording. did you want to edit this or you want me to edit?
I was going to let you edit it if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I'll send you mine.
Okay. But I don't think we lost any of you. I'm not sure. I mean, Chris was talking, so maybe we didn't get it.
Yeah. I wasn't talking. I was listening to Chris. I was talking about the Deadpool.
Yeah, I was just kind of hoping that when the movie was going to show him in costume that we might get the brown suit. But I wasn't expecting it. So I was like, if we do get the brown suit, I'd be happy. If we got the blue suit, I'll still be happy because he's still in the suit.
You know, there's a video out there on YouTube. Was it Superhero Beatdown?
Yeah.
Where they had a guy wearing the brown costume, and who did he go up against? I forget.
It was Predator, I think.
Batman, wasn't it?
It was either Predator, Batman, or Wonder Woman.
And Wolverine in the brown costume. It was actually really, really good. Really well done. The costume looked really good.
I like the guy who played him only because he looked kind of cool. He looked like he could have done Wolverine if he actually tried a bit more.
Well, that yellow costume just pops more against the red. So I think that's probably why they went with that. It looks better on screen than that brown and dark, kind of dark yellow or dark, what's it, brown and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one, the other costume.
Episode 3 of Superhero Beatdown is Batman versus Wolverine. Superpower Beatdown. And
now,
he's in the brown costume.
I want to preface this to anybody watching this. This is fan polls.
Yeah.
This is a fan-made poll where you just got to vote 11 years ago, apparently. Dang. On who would win. And the thing is if it were me, either one of them could have won. I know who I would have liked to win and how I'd write it, but it's always up to the person who writes it. So do not take it as a canon. That's who would win.
Yeah. Now, they did a later one, episode 9, which is Wolverine versus Predator.
Now, that one's really cool.
He's in the yellow costume. And episode 14 is Batman versus Darth Vader. These are all on YouTube. They're free. There's one with him versus Wonder Woman. And a one-minute rematch. Okay. Anyway, I think that we've covered all this. And unless you've got something else to say about the X-Men cartoon, I think we can close this one out.
No, I want to. Well, I want to thank you for coming up with the idea. I really hadn't watched this when it came out, and you kind of forced me to watch it and kind of reevaluate it. So I think I'm enjoying it more than I would. And I look forward to we're going to do all the episodes, right? We're going to do them probably two at a time. These two commentaries. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I look forward to it. This is a lot of fun, and it's always glad to have you on, Chris. You need to be on more shows.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's out of high school for a couple months, so
there you go. Yeah, he's got plenty of time.
Get some free time. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys want me to join on any commentaries, even a comic? I'll look at it.
All right. Well, we want to know what you guys think. Did you like this? Do you want to see hear more like this in the future? Let us know. Of course, you can tell us on our Facebook page, but you can also write to us at gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's gottagetburned at gmail.com. We also, of course, are on Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes, and we'd love to get a 5-star review from you there, because that just, you know, widens the exposure of other listeners to us, and we need the exposure. Not that kind of exposure. Zip up, Chris. Just kidding. Anyway. Anyway, we really appreciate you guys listening to us and hope that you enjoyed it. Please let us know what you think, what you feel, and what you want next. For Third Degree Burn, I'm Brian Hughes. That's Tim Elliott. Say goodbye, Tim.
Goodbye.
And this is Christopher Hughes. Say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks. Have a great week. Take care.
Thanks for listening. You can find us and many other great shows at tutufreaks.com. That's tutufreaks.com. Third Degree Burn is spelled with the number 3, RDDEGREEBYRNE, and is part of the 22 Freaks network of shows. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Third Degree Burn, spelled with the number 3, and Burn spelled BYRNE. Compliments, complaints, and recipes can be sent to gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's gottagetburned@gmail.com. Drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. Till next time, this has been Third Degree Burn.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.